Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by Dow Vineyards and Winery, an exceptional wine tasting experience just a few hours outside of LA. Immerse yourself in beautiful views, world-class wine, and feeling like you are part of the Dow family. Go to dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there for an exclusive offer for backseaters. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in studio slash my kitchen today with a fully repaired roof. is Stephen English, stand-up comedian and the co-host and the full-time producer. I mean, not his full-time job, but I do none of the... That's not true. I actually do a lot of the production. He just gets the title. Right. He does the editing. Is Stephen English, formerly known as CT English, known as my best fake professional friendship.
We are acquaintances, and that's all I'm giving you.
Wearing his newest Simpsons shirt. No, you've had that one a while. I watched an episode of The Simpsons on a flight home. A million jokes a show.
I don't know if I'll ever interact with a property. There's no way. I've already dedicated a large chunk of my life
to The Simpsons.
To The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I don't have time for anything else. I'll be dead before I could even get halfway through something.
That's a little advertisement for Disney Plus right here.
Yep.
Disney Plus. Which they needed.
They need it. They're struggling, you guys.
We're 4 episodes into The Mandalorian. Have you watched that?
I did.
It's great. You know, I would have gotten Disney Plus if not for the X-Men reruns alone, which I think we've already
Squanup. Yeah, Squanup.
Anyways, welcome to our little podcast that sometimes is about family. Right now is mostly about Disney Plus, which our family watches together. We're 4 episodes in, and Claire cannot handle the tension of the episodes when Baby Yoda is in peril.
Right.
And I was like, listen, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the show, but I think that's going to remain a major plot device throughout the entirety of the at least first season.
Yeah.
Am I wrong to assume that?
I mean, you're not wrong. I'll tell you that. That would be what a ballsy twist to an episode 5 Baby Yoda just shot in the back of the head.
That's funny. My son said that. Like, we were talking, he was like, I'm pretty sure they're going to be fine because they're creating a season 2 and this is the most popular thing. But man, unless they got some major twist I didn't see coming. Yeah. I was like, yeah, this is Disney. So you always know it's not going to be that intense. Anyways, welcome to our podcast, Backseaters. We are so proud of you that you tune in.
The official Disney Plus podcast.
No, I feel like we should get, as much as I've trashed Disney on this podcast, this is nice. And let the record be clear, the 3 positive things that I have said about Disney on this: The Simpsons, Marvel, Star Wars, all properties they bought. So my theory remains the same. So our guest today on our podcast is hilarious comedian Kelsey Cook. Kelsey Cook is this is a return guest, though. Yep. Previously she was on with her then fiance, at the time.
Now
maybe boyfriend, now husband, Kane Holloway. And Kelsey and I were both doing shows in fabulous Las Vegas. I think this is our second of third or fourth episodes that I recorded in Vegas.
Oh, there's going to be five, I think.
Oh, yeah, five. Yeah, I did a lot
of them. I think so. There's going to be five.
And we did this one. What was the name of the hotel she was staying in? I don't remember. I went to her hotel. We recorded it. It was great. It was fun. She was doing shows. I don't remember the name of it, but it was the club is Jimmy Kimmel's comedy club there in Vegas, and she was doing shows. So we swung by and we recorded it. We, of course, talked about Vegas shows. We talked about she's from Eastern Washington, Spokane. I almost said Spokane Comedy Club because I'm February there, headlining there February 9th. But she's from the Eastern FSA. I'm from Western Washington. We talk about her path in comedy. We talk about relationship stuff. So I really like Kelsey. I think she's really funny, and I really enjoy her company. And I was really excited that we got to record this. So I hope that you guys enjoy this episode with her. And if you want to give her a follow on Instagram, you can give her a follow at Kelsey Cook Comedy, K-E-L-S-E-Y, or on Twitter, just at Kelsey Cook. And we'll link all that, of course, in the, what do you call that little area that you type up?
The description?
Yeah. Something like that.
I've never actually typed in there.
I just auto-generate.
Yeah, I just send it. I just send it off. I send a CD-ROM.
A CD-ROM
to a guy in Provo, Utah. In Provo, Utah, and he figures it out.
That's really nice that you have that.
I overnight it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need. How does it get there? Via horseback.
Yeah,
the last 30 miles.
Pony Express.
a couple business things to get out of the way, guys. If you have any interest in seeing me come headline some comedy shows on February 9th, I'm going to be in Spokane at Spokane Comedy Club. And February 26th, I'm going to be in Nashville at Zany's Comedy Club. On February 27th, I'm going to be at the Improv in Raleigh, North Carolina. On April 16th, I'm going to be at the Improv in Ontario, California. And May 14th through 17th, a little bit of a homecoming, Tacoma Comedy Club, Tacoma, Washington, May 14th through 17th. Check that out.
Check it.
You can get tickets and information and all of those at dustinnickerson.com/shows. Also, we asked you guys to leave some reviews, and we were going to give away a poster to some of our favorite inside jokes. People were leaving inside jokes on there. And this one really made me laugh here. This one is from Roxa TTAQ. You know who you are.
Yeah, Roxa TTAQ. we all went to school with a Russian.
Left this says, I have been a backseater since the early days of the podcast and enjoyed every episode since. Dustin is a great comedian. Oh, and if you haven't seen him live, you have to. And thanks. And I think it means to say, and bring a few friends as well. Lots of fun. He studied, quote, journalism. That's pretty funny. That's an inside joke of the podcast. And slowly transitioned to comedy. He's a great, quote, social influenza, which is from our episode with Irene.
Right. Wow.
His words, not mine. Find the podcast episode with this bio. Steve English is the producer / co-host of the show, and legend has it that he's a comedian as well.
Oh, Roxataka.
The legend is true. He's also always a headliner when the supporting act is Tony Ravioli. Definitely podcast worth subscribing to. Really, really good stuff there. So I appreciate that. So Roxa Takaku,
that's like a pretty good Star Wars name.
Yeah. Roxa Takaku.
Darth Roxa Takaku.
Shoot us your address and we'll be happy to send you a sign. Don't make me come back there poster in the mail. Actually I have a question. I think we were going to do some more voicemails next week, but you said you wanted to answer one voicemail. And I think I know which one it is.
Do you? It's pretty short. Like,
is it the one asking about your health?
Right.
Somebody called in just out of concern.
Yeah, she says I think her name is Georgie.
Yeah. This is Georgie from Asheville, North Carolina. Yeah. I'm just calling concerned about Steven. I pretty much downloaded all the episodes, and he's sick for at least 75% of them. What did it say? Is he dead or does he just not wash his hands? Right. All right. Thanks so much.
Okay. First of all, I'm not a surgeon. Yeah, I don't wash my hands all the time. I'm not Dr. Bones. No, wait, what's his name? Not Bones? What's the doctor's name?
Dr. Strange?
No, what's the doctor? No, Hugh Laurie. The bad hands. What's his name?
What was that show called?
It's not Bones? No, Bones was the detective who had Bones.
What was his show called?
Dr. Bones.
There's no way that we can know this information. So
House. I'm not Dr. House.
House. House.
I'm not House.
You weren't.
I'm not Grey Anatomy.
Second off, what's the other second? What were you going to say in addition to that?
Second off, I mean.
Because you said first off.
I didn't. I, second off, I'm bad at lists.
And C.
And number C. You know, just shut up, yeah, Georgie. What yeah. are you? What are you? No, thank you, Georgie, for your thing. And I remember I listened to that voicemail like a couple days ago, and I woke up today knowing we were going to do this intro. And the first thing on my mind was, I can't believe she said I was sick with her. And while I was saying that, my entire left nostril yeah. was just clogged.
Right.
Just all the way clogged. Yeah. And I was like, you know, she might be right.
You know what it is Steven is just so committed to this podcast that he doesn't sleep much. And by that, I mean he procrastinates on these episodes and gets a late start and sacrifices his own sleep. And it's like, oh, hey, man, I got to we should do it in advance. And then Sunday when we're going to do it 2 days in advance, you're like, actually, I'm going to have a bunch of people over and drink / watch football. So
right.
I understand.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Not do that? You dork? Of course not.
Don't be a nerd. Yeah. I understand. Thank you for that call. We're going to do another. We have another parenting advice one coming up real quick. But before we do.
Before that.
Oh, my gosh, ladies and gentlemen. We are so close to launching our Patreon. And I am so excited to tell you about it. We are going to go live with Patreon next Tuesday. Right. That is the 28th of January. And we're very excited to be doing it because what we've noticed with our backseaters is you guys are a very vibrant community.
Right.
And
a really good looking one, too.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. If you've ever sent us an email, I have stalked you thoroughly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I've looked at your, not even subtly.
He goes back at old Instagram pics and right. likes them. Right. Likes them all.
Right. I write to your newspaper, your local newspaper where you live, and I go, hey, give me some info on this person. I write a letter to the editor. I need all the dirt on this person.
Steven the Stalker. And but what we also know is you guys, you're a lot of time asking us for more content and more episodes, and we want more behind the scenes. And we're looking for an opportunity just to connect with you guys in different ways and give you guys some stuff as you guys give us some love. There's just a lot of mutual love. And that's what Patreon does. It's an opportunity for you guys. You can throw in a little money towards us, and we'll give you a lot back in return. It's just a way for you guys to connect closer to us, to get more content, to get more stuff from this podcast and from me individually as a comedian. And if Steven ever starts doing some sets too, that's not true. He did a set tonight. Yeah. I didn't mean to be that insulting.
Yeah, I do sets like every week, bro.
Yeah.
I just don't do them like... at the Tacoma Comedy Club. I don't do it at like Laffy Taffy's in Pittsburgh, Wisconsin.
Who
I don't
books
do
that.
It.
Laffy Taffy's.
Laffy Taffy's. Yeah.
I was in Pittsburgh this last week. I was in New York this last week and it was like 8, and that is not warm enough.
That's not enough degrees.
That's not enough
Get
degrees.
Get some more degrees.
Get some more degrees. Find some degrees.
You jerks.
So if you guys have any interest in you know, kind of becoming even more a part of the Don't Make Me Come Back There community, then Patreon is your opportunity to do that. So the way that it works is you kind of buy in at a certain level.
Sure.
There's different tiers. Right. And different tiers. The more you pay, the more you get from us. So... the different tiers that we have, the first one that you can do, and this is just $5 a month, and this is called the back middle seat. So you're a back, you're in the back seat, but it's the middle seat, which some of you, you're fine. That's all you need is the back middle seat. So the back middle seat
good views
at $5 a month is going to get you access to our online backseater discussion forum. So
right.
that's one of the big ones. You guys can come on, discuss episodes. I'm going to be posting in there regularly. You haven't seen this yet either, have you?
But I'm reading it. It says plus a sweat.
Patron only. I'll figure that. Plus a sweet patron only sticker to show your backseaters pride. So you guys, we're gonna send you a sticker. $5 a month. That's after you're on it for 2 months. $5 a month. You're gonna get onto the Patreon website. You're gonna be part of the discussion forum, and you're gonna get a sweet.
That's $1.25 a week.
It's so cheap. So cheap. Next tier we got after that is the back window seat. So you're going to get everything before the back, you know, the discussion forum and the sticker. And then you're also going to get some exclusive bonus content from us. So at least once a month, shooting for the first of the month, they'll definitely have it out on February 1st, is we're going to release a segment called 5 Questions or 10 Minutes, where I interview one of our guests for an extra 5 questions or 10 minutes, whichever comes first.
Okay.
So if it's an episode for that month, you're going to get an extra bonus from them. It's going to be set amount of questions.
Yeah.
Sometimes that you guys send them in as we get more and more you guys involved, you guys will set those questions. I'm going to say, hey, this is our extra person this month, what are your questions for them?
Right.
And then also you're going to get some discount codes for live shows of mine where you can get some percentages off and save a little money that way.
Yeah.
Whenever I come to your city. Boom, that's the next one. After that we have backseat drivers. Now we're getting up to $25. These are great titles. I killed it with these titles.
Nailed it.
Everything you're going to get before, everything you've heard this point. Plus, once a month, you're going to get an exclusive interview review with me. And this is one of the things that I'm really excited to do with you guys is, because a lot of you guys have asked about this, especially when we have certain guests where maybe you've noticed, like, the tone is a little bit different, right, or it's someone that we didn't have a previous relationship before. And so I talked to you guys, and this will be probably 10, 15 minutes about my preparation for that interview, what I had hoped for to discuss versus what actually came up, how I felt kind of before, during, after, because people do ask a lot about that to me, kind of like what the interview processes are and how we, you know, what I, my plan and what isn't planned. And so we'll kind of bring you into some of those, and I'll try and each month choose what I think is maybe the one that was like maybe the most different.
Okay.
You know, as far as like, oh, I was more nervous, or I had to do more prep than I normally do, or whatever it may be.
Right.
Also,
you didn't shower before this
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Well, that's a given. Also, this one, actually, I said it, a sweet Don't Make Me Come Back there poster signed by Steven and I. So you, after 3 months of doing that, so you get everything you got before, plus the poster and that extra content. And then finally, at $100 a month, and this is here just in case you guys want it.
Right.
Everything that you got before, plus you're getting a Christmas card from the Nickersons, which anyone who gets a Christmas card from the Nickersons knows this is a big get.
It is complex.
It's funny every year.
There's like complex. There's layers
there's
to it.
Symbolism.
Yeah.
A verbal thank you on every episode. So at the end of the episodes, we'll
call you out.
Thank you guys for that. And then also, this is one of the things I'm most excited about right here. Each month, I'm going to go thrift shopping and send you something in the mail from a thrift shop.
Right.
This is going to come with a personal note. It's not going to be, I'm not going to buy it in mass. I'm going to buy a thing. Like if Stephen English was a designated driver,
right,
I got his name on a list.
Right.
I'm probably going to like, it might just be random. I might stock your socials a little bit and try and custom. I don't know. But I'm already thrift shopping all the time anyway. So I'm going to send you something in the mail different each month. As long as you're putting in that 100 each month, you're going to get a different thing in the mail from me. I don't know if any of you guys are going to do that. $100 a month. I hope you do, because it's an excuse for me to go thrift shopping. But
I just have one note on there. You said if Stephen English was a designated driver, and that's never happened.
No.
So maybe use someone different.
Oh, man. So when the time comes, you guys are going to go to patreon.com/don't make me come back there. And we'll also put all the links and stuff up in there as well. And I'll link it from my socials that day. And message me and send us emails with any questions that you guys have on that, too. I'm sure. I hope we'll have a good, clean onboarding process. But, you know, things can be clunky at first, especially because this is me running this one and not Steven. And as much as I give Steven a hard time, he's better at a lot of stuff than me. So,
I can bake a pie.
Yep. Any kind of pie. What's your favorite kind of pie?
Rhubarb.
Really?
No.
No.
I've eaten like 6 pies in my life. I have no idea about pies.
No, really?
If it's not cherry, I have a razzleberry.
Razzleberry.
From Marie Callender's.
That is, all right, let me do two real quick emails from you guys. One, this is from Rebecca. Rebecca sent us this. She's faithful backseat. She says, "Hey, Dustin and Steven. Okay, I just listened to your most recent podcast with Mike Merrifield, and I'm dying to know, what did he call his ex-wife? Please tell us. I mean, come on. Bleep face leaves me with way too many ideas of what that could be, and I have a very extensive vocabulary. I get it. You are a family-friendly podcast, so here's an idea. Maybe just spell it out and backwards, so before my kids learn to spell, my family and I would spell everything, and of course, that is a classic one. This is Please Don't Leave Us Backseaters Hanging literally by a single word." Okay. This interview with Mike,
it's one of those things where, like, you almost don't want to say it because, like, this could be, like, played in court.
That was the thing. The reason that we bleeped it, I can't say it, because the reason that he bleeped it is because, as he was saying in that episode, some of his act is being already read against him.
Right.
So, Rebecca, you are a very faithful listener. I know you've come to my shows in Sacramento, and I appreciate that.
Right.
I don't think I can say this.
I'm not going to snitch.
No. Oh, man. I want to. It's right there, but I can't say it. Tell you what, Rebecca, come to a show.
It's poopy.
It's definitely not poop face.
It was poopy face.
It was not poop face. But I think that's really funny, and I just like that people are that invested. Like, I need to know. What did he say?
It almost does, because it's not as bad as you're, like, probably thinking.
No. I mean, it was pretty bad, actually.
Well, I mean, yeah. But it's not, I mean, it could
I would also get a divorce if I ever called Melissa that, so. I mean, out of context.
Is he called a poopy face?
No. Depends. It depends on the context. Okay, next question. This is our parenting advice. So here we go. This question right here is from Jessica.
Let me crack my knuckles to get really ready.
Oh,
there
nice.
There we go. I'm ready for
Excellent.
It.
Nice. This is from Jessica. Hello. First off, I just want to say that I look forward to this podcast every week, especially now that my preschool age daughter is in school.
Thanks, Jess.
Full day, 3 days a week. I drop her off at school and then drive around while the baby gets in a solid car nap while I get to unwind with some laughs from you guys. So thank you. You're welcome. Circling back to my 4-year-old preschool daughter, she's definitely the most headstrong, independently spirited, this is code word for bad, of my 3 kids.
Right, a lot of euphemisms there.
Exactly. The parts of life my now 7-year-old son made incredibly easy for me, she finds a way to make an added challenge. Most recently, she has been leaving her artistic design and pen on what she deems blank canvases. I deem them the wall and the couch. I feel like she's destined to be the CEO of a company later in life. She's got vision and drive, but how do I redirect that energy for the next 14 years? Or, at the very least, until she loses the desire to draw on house fixtures. Thanks in advance. Have a great week. Jessica. And then she sent us a little picture of some drawing on the couch.
Right.
Well, first off, I would say, looking at this drawing, it's not, she's not good enough to allow it.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
This is bad.
100%.
This is not anything.
Was she writing with her offhand? That's terrible.
Does your child not know that she's a left-handed child?
Did you not give her the choice? Because, I mean, like, she's definitely, that handwriting is
it's really bad. I couldn't even really read the name. And so I have concerns that your child may have a learning disability.
Maybe she needs glasses. It's that bad.
Maybe she does really need glasses because for all she knows, she might be coloring on coloring pages.
Right.
She just can't see.
She just has no idea.
She has no idea.
Right. Or, and this is the other thing, she might be a complete psychopath. She, be scared of her.
Yeah.
Be very afraid of her.
Right. Right.
If you checked her vision, it's 20/20. If you checked her handedness and she's rocking the right hand and she's running with the right hand, then that just means she is a scary kid.
Right.
And
right.
You need to just do whatever she says.
Yeah. Because 2 years from now, it's not going to be pen, it's going to be blood. She's going to be writing in blood.
You just need to do, yeah. She runs the house now. She's now the man of the house.
Right. I would say there are a couple things. There's a couple options. One, I don't know. I think based on the art and the scribbles and the drive, the things that you're using, I lean towards thinking that your child is a psychopath. And,
right.
And maybe even with some sociopathic tendencies as well.
I mean, they go hand in hand. It's like tomato, tomato. You know, psychopath, sociopath. Who cares? You know, the end of the day, you're gonna end up.
Yeah. What
dead.
I would recommend is, you're gonna need this child probably locked up.
Yeah.
And she seems smart, so she's probably not gonna.
She's
get
gonna
caught.
See it coming. She probably listens to this before you do.
You're
so
probably
she's gonna, see
gonna
it coming.
Have to frame her for a crime.
She probably read your emails going out. So now she knows you're on to her.
She sent this email?
You might be dead already.
We're about to be murdered.
What did you do?
This child.
What did
is,
you do to us? Hello? Or here's another thing. Let's just say on the off chance you're not dead already, which is probably obviously you are. We're talking to a ghost.
Oh, Jessica, rest
we're talking,
in peace.
We're talking to a ghost. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for the loss of yourself.
Yeah.
But let's say you're still alive. Dexter her.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch Dexter. So what's the reference there?
So Dexter is his, the dude's dad sees that this kid is crazy.
Right.
So he like funnels him into killing other bad people.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? So he only killed other like killers and stuff like that.
Yeah. And if all of that fails, like, remember, you know, as a kid, like, a lot of time, you know, strengths like that end up being the things that define them as great humans. And, you know, like, the drive to be artistic and have vision are the things that are going to make her great. So you're just going to ride it out and be patient.
Sure.
And you're there for the long haul and love and encourage them. And don't 100%. Focus the things that they're bad at, but think of the things that they're good at and encourage the development of those gifts. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, yeah, that child's going to murder you.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I don't know why we keep doing this. Like, Jessica's been dead. When was this sent?
Rest in peace, Jessica.
You're probably a skeleton now.
Yeah.
It's been sent like
rest
a week
in
ago.
Peace,
you're you're worm food. So
I know, Jessica, you're watching this from above. thank you for the email. Anytime you guys want to shoot us an email, shoot us an email. Don't make me come back there at gmail.com and shoot us a voicemail at 619-292-8787. And enjoy this episode with Kelsey. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Vegas shows are so strange, though. Like, there's like a whole different set of rules. I don't know like how to come hang out at your shows.
Oh, I know. I mean, I wouldn't even know what to say to the people.
Exactly.
Like Brad Garrett's like, I'm a comedian, but I know, like, I don't.
And they're not comedy club security. They're security. They're looking at you like, oh, that's nice.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. No,
such a garbage person is here swearing right out the gate in my camo sweatshirt. I'm very on brand right now. Ugh, covered in cat hair.
Yeah, I felt, I knew, before you, when you said audio or video, or I knew exactly what you were asking. Do I have to shower?
Do
for
I
this?
Have to, please don't make me. Yeah.
No, it is funny, like with podcasts right now. I mean, because you guys do video whenever you're in the studio.
Yeah.
You gotta look good.
It's changed a lot for us. We used to just roll in there, just off the streets. Out of a ditch.
They're like, we didn't recognize you.
Yeah.
I'm a comedian. Okay.
And now the views are kind of getting more and more on YouTube. We're trying to put those clips on Instagram. And we're like, well, we're not going to want to share it if we look like a troll. So let's put a little effort in, a little shower.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt.
Now
so.
You have to get, but you don't want to like look too done up.
No. Yeah.
It seems like it's an
always.
In-between.
I mean, that's with comedy in general is like that fine line of like, you want to look presentable and feel confident, but... You know, you don't want to look like JonBenet Ramsey or like a full, you know, pageant queen.
Yeah.
That's not a relatable vibe. Nobody wants to hear that person talk.
Some guys do, though, with like the suit, though. Which...
That's true. But it's, I don't know. How do you feel about that? Like a guy in a suit who still looks the same in the face because men don't wear makeup as opposed to like a woman in a dress fake eyelashes.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true. With fake eyelashes.
Yeah.
Full curled hair. It's a lot.
It is. I mean, just in general, women aren't funny, and so it doesn't really matter to me.
Do we even need to bother talking about
yeah
really
either
don't.
Way I'm like, I think I should go to the bathroom now, or I'm gonna tune out, or I'm just gonna instead of watching this, I'm just gonna pull up some Daniel Tosh on my phone.
This is like a good time to take a dump. I'm gonna check out for about 30 minutes.
How long is her set?
Yeah.
Oh, she's featuring. Okay. I'll grab a drink too.
I'm gonna hit the slot machines. Yeah.
I do think there is something to that, like the relatability, but also like, I don't know. I never feel more judged than when I walk out onto the stage before I've said anything.
Oh, yes.
I feel like you're just out there. There's this like 10 second, like, okay. Because, you know, at least now, like, for the most part, you know, I'm anonymous when I walk on stage.
Right.
Most of the time, I'm doing shows right now where people don't know I'm on the show.
Right.
Or
right.
care.
Right.
And then they're just like, oh, okay, is this what, and what's he going to say? And are they going to be funny? Or, I don't know, it's definitely a weird.
Oh, yeah. I always feel like. Especially early on, I would get a little bit more dressed up and I would assume that people thought I was going to walk out and be like, I just want to let people know there's a Toyota Corolla outside with their lights on. And I just like, just looked like I was a staff member who was going to go make an announcement about somebody.
And if you look too like dolled up in Vegas, you're going to walk out and there's going to be some guys like, well, what's happening in the show now?
Yeah.
What's this show just took a different turn altogether. Cause you never like, it's such an interesting, like unique thing that comics have where like, do you feel like you still have to like prove to them quickly that you're funny? Or,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I think the longer you do it, the more you feel confident that you're going to get them at some point, no matter what, unless that's like a real shitty crowd. But, I love the way you said that you've never felt more judged than the first 10 seconds from when you walk out. Oh my God. Cause that's what we do. Like, you know, even as comics, when you see a comic that you've never watched before and they come out, that's just human nature.
Yeah.
It's like you try and size them up a little bit,
yeah.
get a gauge of what do we think is about to happen
here. Yeah. Here we go. This guy.
Yeah. So for a while there, I was really like frumping myself up on stage because I was trying
frumping,
hardcore frumping, because I didn't.
There's dolling up and there's frumping up or frumping down.
Frumping
maybe.
Down. Doll dolling up, or up and frumping down. Oh my god! Yeah, that's perfect.
So you going out there with like hoodies on and stuff?
Yeah, I would wear really like kind of baggy clothes and no makeup. And
your old Spokane high school, or old, Mead, or what high school did you go
to? I went
to
Cheney High School.
Cheney High School. But, yeah. I'm sorry to insult with the rival there.
Even more in the tumbleweeds and methed out. Oh, Cheney. But I think walking out as a female comic, you're already fighting the stereotype of women aren't funny.
Right.
So going out, as soon as they see I'm a woman, I'm dealing with that.
Right.
And then on top of that, if I go out and I try to make myself look nice, then it's that doubling down of, well, attractive women are definitely not funny. So I would think, okay, if I front myself down, I can X out one of those things and just deal with the female part of this.
So I would, by the way, I would watch a Kelsey Cook web series called Frumpin' Down.
Frumpin' Down? Oh my God. I'm like a pro at Frumpin' Down.
It's like the opposite of, like, you know, there's like shows about makeovers and, you know, this is like just how to really trash it up one day.
How
not
to
even
make
trash.
Yourself a four.
Honestly, it's how to be comfortable is what it is.
I know. It's
like yoga pants, but not too tight of ones, you know, you know, sweatshirt that's somewhat put together. You're going to want to have, see, like I immediately noticed problems with your sweatshirt as far as frumping down is, where do you put your hands?
Oh,
you can't fully frump down unless you've
got a good point.
And no hood.
I can't carry snacks in that pouch. I can't.
Like a dad out like all times. I'm ready for. So anyway, I was walking around in the casino. I always like, I'm not like an on guard guy, but like there's always sketchy characters in Vegas.
Absolutely.
And I realized this was, yesterday when I recorded one, I was wearing a black like hooded sweatshirt.
Yeah.
I had my hood on, my sunglasses on, because it was like, it's this bright, cold thing. And I'm carrying
the Unabomber.
And I'm carrying this case around right here, which this
my God, you were a security threat.
Yeah, and I was like,
I'm
the sketchiest person in this casino right now. People are scared of me.
Yeah. Black hooded. I'm scared with you. You have sunglasses, hood up, and this orange case.
I know.
It's a hard plastic case. Like, if you put that through airport security, it's getting pulled.
It's never not been opened.
100%.
It's never, whether I check it or I bring it through, they're like, we're going to take a look what's in here. And they'll stare at that. This is our Zoom recorder, which you've traveled with the years before. Nobody, you ever try and explain to a TSA agent what that is?
Oh, they're my God.
Like, no, that's definitely a bomb.
1,000% homemade bomb. So. Without question.
It is funny being here on a holiday week. Have you ever done Vegas on a holiday week like
I
this?
Have not. I've come here for Thanksgiving just to eat a few years ago, which is, it's actually a good place to come because the buffets are crazy
this
good.
This is our second year in a row doing family Thanksgiving here. Yeah.
It's not a bad place to do it, but show-wise, it's very bizarre. Yeah. And Vegas in cold months in general is a weird place to be. It's fun to see the women who are like, still so determined to have their out, and it's like they just look
no frumping down.
Oh no, frumping! No. I mean, they're soldiers. They're trying so hard to like keep the out.
Yeah,
keep it going really
Which
strong.
Which one is that? So we've got dolling up,
frumping down.
Is that like whoring out?
Whoring out. Whoring yes, it's a horizontal.
Horizontal.
I need somebody to make a graphic of this that we can share on Instagram.
Horizontal is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
We need an illustration of
this
what we're talking
good.
About.
No, this should be a
horizontal.
Separate podcast altogether. Or just a web series where you just like take a picture of somebody and you put them on the trajectory one way or another.
Yes.
It's very Vegas-y though, because like as we look behind you, there are people on zip lines going by.
I know. I was like, how much do you can hate yourself? Like, it is so cold outside.
So cold.
I mean, that has to be just slicing their skin. God, people are nuts.
Yeah.
But
they just hand you Vaseline and chapstick when you get off. Yeah.
Just bleeding. Yeah. It's people really are determined to keep it that like a summery Vegas feel, despite it being, it's truly freezing here.
It is. Vegas is such a unique thing too, where like people like have to like, I've noticed like guys like there's a certain energy where people, it's almost like they have to keep convincing themselves they're having a good time.
Yeah.
As you walk around the casino, they're like, Vegas! Like they shout it. Seth Meyers had a joke where he said like the Vegas is the only place where people start acting like they're there on the flight out. They're like, we're going to Vegas. They're just getting like hammered on the plane.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's what we're here as. They're carnies. Yeah. Yes. We're just like, hey, we're the little jesters.
Yeah. Come tap dance.
Yeah.
I have a deep love for Vegas, which I know makes me trash, and I'm totally fine with that. But
listen,
I used
to. You already referenced Cheney.
So. I know. But people know. The people know.
Yeah. We got a lot of Northwest listeners.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Then you guys know. I've been coming to Vegas since I was like 8 for foosball tournaments because this is where the Hall of Fame tournament is every year. And so
that's why everybody comes here.
Everybody knows that. And as a kid, Vegas is a really magical place.
Yeah.
I mean, the strip with like the Mirage volcano and
it's
the
amazing.
Treasure Island pirate fight and M&M World. So I loved it as a kid and then have been coming for foosball every year. And then, you know, you get older and then you come for booze and I do love it. It's really fun.
Yeah. It's it's an excuse to come out. Like when we perform, like I hope they're not listening, but I only send avails to, our booker, when my kids are out of school.
Yes.
So we just make it, like you said, it's an excuse kind of to come out. So
yeah, it's a family trip.
But during Thanksgiving week, it is. Yeah. It's just that it is a family trip. There's a lot of families here.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you kind of have blinders on depending on what you're coming for. Like if you're coming to drink, you don't even see the families.
Right.
They're invisible.
Right.
They're ghosts, phantoms. But if you're here with your family, I feel like you mostly see other families. You're like, oh yeah, there's other people here doing this.
So. Yeah. What you're saying is you wouldn't even notice my kids. My kids have been in your room this whole time. You helped walk us up.
Oh my God.
You didn't even.
So sorry, guys. I just
you know what will be an interesting transition for you?
Yeah.
Is in if and when you ever have kids and bring them to Vegas.
Oh my God. You're gonna be very full circle, huh? Yeah.
You might have to chill out a little bit.
Oh, that sounds like such a bummer. I'm definitely. I just don't know if I'm going to have kids, but
they have a good children's
nowhere.
Museum here. They do.
They have a children's museum here. That makes me want to jump out of this window. That's not okay. But you know what? You know, great.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
What'd you do for Thanksgiving then? Did you...
Kane and I went and got dinner with Pete Lee and his girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. It was nice. It was like a little friends couple giving and just got some food. It was lovely.
Is your family upset that you guys didn't come home or anything?
Yeah, they are. I think it's the first year of my life, actually, that I'm not going home for either holiday.
Uh-huh.
But traveling as much as we do for comedy... And we had our wedding a few months ago. So it's like we saw.
Right. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. We saw so much family then. But holiday travel is just so hard.
It's amateurs.
It is. So many. Kane and I both got like violently ill last Thanksgiving because there's a little girl who was vomiting into a grocery bag. But right before we boarded, like vomiting at the gate. And then she got on the plane with us. I'm like, oh, that, okay, thank you. I might as well just eat that bag
sometimes.
Of puke because I'm going to get it no matter what. We're just sitting next to her. So, and then we all got horribly, horribly sick after, like right after Thanksgiving. So it's nice to not for a year, I think.
Yeah.
But I love Spokane still, and I love like the Pacific Northwest at Christmas time. But.
Yeah. Yeah. It's darker and rainier than normal. Not Spokane. Yeah. Spokane's snowy.
Yeah.
That's nice. It's a little more magical.
I know. It made me happy when I saw your Seahawks sweatshirt in the lobby. I was like, oh, home.
A little piece of home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird, Seattle has dispersed us a little bit. Like, you know, I was texting with Jeff Dye earlier today and you're just, it's this weird kind of group, Adam Ray.
Yeah.
Like there's for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Fahim, he grew up in Issaquah.
Let's be clear. You're not in the club, Fahim.
Well, I met Fahim and I don't really know him very well, but like, I was like, oh, where are you from? Or he, you know, I said Federal Way and he's like, oh, cool. And I was like, where are you from? He goes, Issaquah. I was like, all right, we're not the same.
We don't sit at the same table.
No, we don't live in the same house. We don't like this. Issaquah is a totally different. Issaquah is in that list of great Northwest cities to try and listen to outsiders pronounce, though.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's up there with Puyallup, Issaquah,
and Cheney. And Spokane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Spokane.
Cheney. Yeah.
Yakima. I get Yakima.
You get Yakima? Yeah, oh my I've gosh, I don't Yakima. Think I've heard Yakima. That's yeah. funny. I hope the Pacific Northwest listeners are enjoying this
yeah.
portion.
Oh, they absolutely will. Yeah. The so did your family, I could see how they're upset on that. I want to come back to that. We did a thing last year where they offered us Thanksgiving work, and I asked Melissa, like, hey, do you want to, I mean, if you don't want to, that's fine. She's like, are you asking if I get to like stay in a hotel on Thanksgiving and somebody else makes my meal and
yeah.
then they box it up? Yeah, 1,000 times yes. And we've noticed is each year more family keeps coming.
Really?
Like we grew this year. Okay. By extra family members, more people are like, oh, and then Dustin can get like comp tickets to like his shows and stuff. And everybody, so the first year, everyone's like, I can't believe you would do that. And now already people are like making plans for next year.
Oh
like,
my God. It's really, it's a slippery slope. Like if you don't cook one year, you're yeah. like, you know, it sounds nice.
Yeah.
Not cooking again this year and having somebody else do this.
Have you done it? Have you hosted everyone before
I
or just assisted? Or?
You know, Kane and I have always, we've lived in these like one bedroom apartments yeah. where I can't, it's us and three cats. I can't even
yeah.
picture.
Yeah. It's a certain level. You don't want to get too successful because now there's expectations.
Exactly. You mean you just have a podcast guest over and you're like, you got to go. Like in and out within an hour.
I can see how annoyed you were having to move this stuff to get, open up these two chairs in your room.
It's like, oh, God, I'm just right back at home.
Dustin, just lean against the backpack. It's fine.
Just sit in your case.
Yeah.
Sit in your bomber case. yeah, so we haven't. Kane likes the idea of doing the whole cooking and all that stuff. And he's so optimistic and sweet.
Kane,
and I just,
that sounds like Kane.
I'm like, I don't think you understand yeah. how much, just the turkey alone.
Yeah.
That's one person's job. Like we got 7 other side dishes and a dessert. Like you don't want to do this. I just know he doesn't, but yeah. he thinks he does. So I don't know.
So when you do go home though, is it, do you have like a, your like who's all there? Is it just your folks or is it extended family or is it steps and stepsisters and step uncles
steps,
or who's all, you know,
all the steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit of everything. So my parents are divorced. Mm-hmm. And so, it's like
did they divorce when you were young or older?
Yeah, I was 5 and a half.
Oh, that's right.
Almost 6. And so I've always done the whole kind of like shuffle back and forth and
yeah.
do something with one of them and then do something
in
with
the same
the
city
other.
Though.
Same city, yeah. yeah. She was in Cheney, my dad was in Spokane, which is about, you know, 20-30 minutes. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm good, thank you.
I just wanted to let you know that has happened probably 10 times on this podcast because that's the nature of it. Like, I think that's part of what the listeners like. Is they're like, where did they record it this week? What interruption
is? This is authentic. Yeah. And also, how lazy am I that I didn't walk like the 20 feet? I went, I'm good.
Oh, yeah. No, they assumed you were in bed.
Yeah.
Because normally that's...
no. Stop.
When you do like a weekend, do you have your room service and stuff? Or
never.
Do you never?
I never.
Same. Yeah.
Never in a million years. That's another thing with Kane, where Kane's like, why don't I would like the bed made? I'm like, you just pull the corner up
yeah.
and then it's
yeah.
done. Like,
yeah.
I don't want people touching my stuff.
Yep.
Right. Like, I got my laptop. I just don't want to think about it.
No.
Weirds me out.
No. I'm 100% with you. Melissa's the opposite. She wants to like come back to like the serviced room and everything.
Yes.
And she wants, I'm like, I don't, we are becoming increasingly less good at like staying in hotel rooms together.
Yeah.
Because I do it so much solo now.
Oh.
That
yeah.
I'm just like I have like temperature things.
Yes. You have the way you
yeah.
do it.
And
you know where you set things.
And I know it's bad too. Because I like to get into a hotel room, immediately put it up to 78.
Shut
and just,
up.
And just get in,
and just
get in my
cook.
Underwear and watch TV. I've earned it. I've earned this.
78.
It's 78. And then when it's time to go night-night, I put it down to 68.
Wow, bro.
And just cuddle up under. You've got to find something. It's almost, I know those are ridiculous extremes, but they're like little creature comforts for me.
Yeah.
And they help me survive. Plus, a lot of it is that extreme. I want to hear the air running until I fall asleep.
Yeah.
And that's that 10 degree drop will take a while.
Yes. It'll be working until you decide to change yeah. it back to 78 the next morning. I'm not that extreme, but I do the same thing where I come in and I crank up the heat. And then at night I go cold with it.
It's nice to walk into the warm room, especially post show. I feel like.
Oh, you need a hug from the room. I need the comfort of a room that thousands and thousands of people have stayed in.
A hug to from just the room.
Make me feel.
You do need a hug from the room. It's the only real hug you're going to get that day.
No one else is hugging me.
The room's the only one that really loves you.
That's what I need. I need a hug from the room. Yeah, I never have housekeeping come in. If it gets to a point where I've like run out of toilet paper, I'll like poke my head out like a goblin and just ask for one. I hold up like Whitey Bulger. Like nobody's coming in. Like I don't need anybody knowing I'm here. I just need the basics. Run out of Kleenex, I get another box, and that's it.
It's so different when you do, like, when you start traveling with other people, though. Like, even, like comedians on the road, or even, like, I was out with Taylor a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I'm just wondering, like, there's this unofficial of, like, when do you go back to the room, or when do you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, did you grow up traveling and stuff with your family and stuff, or, yeah?
Yeah, I traveled a fair amount for foosball, so, which I know, this is such a weird, I forget now that people like don't know what
I know that about
you,
and it still makes me giggle.
So silly. If you don't know, my family and I are like, we're all
champion
foosball players. Very weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've traveled together, like my mom and brother and I, for years and years, and it's dropped off a little bit in the last, I don't know, maybe five or so because of comedy. Like I can't take the time off as much to do foosball. But
are you making money in those tournaments and stuff? Like, is it?
Yeah, but it's gambling because you have to pay an entry fee.
Oh, I see.
And then it's then you hope that you do well enough to win it back. And so even if I place in an event, the money in the events that I'm playing in isn't enough to, like, I think the most I ever won at a tournament was like $800.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, that will probably never happen again. The real money is when it's like open singles, so that's you're playing everybody. But if I'm playing like women's singles, they change the pay a lot, so which is a bummer. But it is what it is.
Even in foosball, no respect.
It is brutal.
I guess it actually makes more sense that the more mainstream, hopefully, the more progressive foosball is. Like, listen, we're gonna hold on to our little misogynistic world down here as long as we can.
It
pinball
blows.
Will change before foosball.
It blows my mind. There's some women's events that just give out trophies. They don't even give out money. And I'm like, what is this? This is not, it's like, 2019.
We thought you loved jewelry.
Oh,
we thought
my
you.
God. And then, I mean,
look,
the trophies are always.
It shines. Don't women like this kind of stuff?
Not the foosball trophies. They don't shine. They are made of plastic.
It just says number one
so
broad
silly.
On it.
Oh my God.
What in the
number
world?
One broad.
And you're like, this is disrespectful, but I do kind of like this, actually.
Oh my God, it's just like a kitchen apron is like the trophy. It's like, get back there.
You're like, it's not very shiny. Like, well, we'll assume you would shine it. That's of course
that's part of this.
Yeah,
you don't shine it for the women.
Yeah, you go home and polish this up.
Oh my God, while you're drying dishes. Yeah. Ugh. So it's, yeah, it's well such a weird world, but yeah, a lot of traveling growing
up. Are those fond memories? It was you, your mom, and your brother?
And my brother, yeah. Yeah, very, very fond memories.
Did your dad play?
So yeah, my parents met playing in a professional foosball tournament, so.
And that wasn't a strong enough bond.
You know, it wasn't what you could have as a foundation, apparently. Yeah. It's a rocky foundation.
Yeah.
It's not structurally sound. But they lasted 10 years. I feel like that's actually a long run.
It's a good
for
run.
Foosball
yeah.
being the bond.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my dad is still really good. Like, if you get him on a table, he's still really good. But he doesn't go out to tournaments anymore.
Yeah.
Is
he better than your mom? Is that a point of contention?
Well, I don't.
Maybe that's why they divorced.
Maybe that's why.
Sorry.
I don't know. God, who knows? But, well, I know. There's lots of reasons, I'm sure. Yeah. But I don't know if foosball
listen,
was
I'm
like.
I'm an adult. I know why they divorced.
I know. I'm 30 years old. I don't know. But I don't know how much foosball played into it. That's kind of a funny thought. I don't know who would win now on the table. My mom has continued to play all these years.
Yeah.
She's played for over 40 years. She's in the Foosball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, she's much. She's like considered the historian of the sport.
Really?
She wrote the World Table Soccer Almanac.
She's a legend.
She's a legend. So she's definitely more well known in the foosball community, but my dad is still good. I'm not sure who would beat who.
Right.
But
Yeah, but like definitely very fond memories. My brother's really good. My brother and my mom went to France together to compete in the World Cup a few years back. And he's so fun to watch play because he's like six. How tall is my brother? He's like 6'2" or something crazy. And he just is all yoked out. And he just slams the ball. It's pretty fun to watch.
That's such a unique, like, I just love like little family weird dynamics like that. Like everybody has, like, we were watching the, there's a show on one of the channels, whatever. This is very specific. Called like the Great Christmas Light Fight or something like that. Okay. So it's a Christmas light competition show.
Oh, okay.
And I'm watching these families and like the kids that are like super into it and stuff. And at first I'm like, oh man, this is kind of weird. And then you're like, no, this is amazing. This is what they're... little family does, and that's great, and they all get into it, and your guys' was foosball.
Yeah.
And you guys traveled the world. Or was it just to Vegas?
Oh, it was all over. There's Vegas is one of the biggest tournaments, and then the world championships were every year in Dallas, and so we'd go to Dallas. I feel so fortunate that that's been this like huge part of my life for a while. I was like, oh, this is weird, and I shouldn't even talk about it because nobody is going to get it. Yeah. I didn't talk about it on stage for years and years.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember who it was, but it was like, it doesn't have to be relatable to be funny.
Yeah.
I think I just thought in my head, well, that's what makes a joke funny. It has to be relatable. And people are like, it's so weird that it will be funny because nobody else has a professional foosball joke in the world. Like, you got to talk about it.
Absolutely.
If you have something like that in your life, for sure talk about
it. No one's going to call that hacky.
I know. If you see somebody else doing a pro foos, like, it's stolen. It's stolen for sure. It's absolutely mine. I can tell you for sure it is. Yeah.
There is something to that on stage where you just have to embrace the like unique things. Like the thing that makes me feel the most as an outsider in comedy is not just that I'm married and have kids, but that I did it very young. I got married as 19, you know, Melissa was 20. And I was like, people, they, I don't know. I feel like it makes me unrelatable, or it's just like, suddenly you're not like, like the comics would be like, you're not really one of us, you know, like you're like, you live a totally different lifestyle and stuff than us. But now it's one of my favorite things to do is just say like on stage, just like, I got married at 19, and then I don't say anything. I just let, and almost always there'll be like a, oh God,
why?
It's like, it's the part of the show that I'm entertained. Like,
yes. Like, oh my God. That's such a great way to put it.
Oh yeah. Cause they just, it's so foreign, just like foosball that everyone's like, what? Now there are places, like I did a joke, we did it like at this like Christian school, like I did a show there and I was like, I got married at 19, which like I know,
like, oh, that's old.
That's what I said. I was like, this is late by Christian school students. Like, what took you so long? Did you guys have a long engagement or what
happened? So how long have you guys been married?
15 years.
Oh my God.
Yeah. See, and to that I actually because I would just not think of like me and my wife have been married 15 years. Like at a certain point you have to like say how young you got married, otherwise you see them tracking, like, you have a 12-year-old, you've been married for 15 years, and I'm looking at you and everything that you're saying means you're 48.
Exactly. Well, that's what's so it's just so mind-blowing. I feel like you and I couldn't have come from different backgrounds in that way, because my mom had me when she was 36 and she had my brother when she was 42.
Oh wow.
So in my mind, if I have kids,
that's biologically challenging.
I know. If I have kids, which I'm not even sure I want to, I would probably be waiting until like my late 30s.
Yeah.
And so just the math, when I look at you, I'm like, I don't how, but you're so young looking, how do you have 12-year-old? It's fascinating to me.
It's funny to be, even though I'm like like life stage, or like age wise, I'm pretty similar to all of us. Yeah. We're all in that 25 to 40 range, of us. And but like, I'm like within comedians, I'm like demographically, like I'm like up with like the 50, like my kids are like the same old age as like Seinfeld's, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
But the perk of that is like, I'll be like, you know, like I'll be at 50 and all my kids will be out of the house.
That's true. You know, that's so amazing. Yeah. You know, yeah. I feel that. I think we talked about that.
Get
like
a day job then.
When we do comedy and magic, and that's like a older demographic of the club, that I, even though these people are older, just by being in a long-term relationship and being married, a lot of my material can speak to them, as opposed to, there's a lot of people, you know, I'm 30 that are around my age that are still on apps or like just starting to date somebody seriously. And so
Yeah. And we do all these, like, you know, weird little cool independent shows or young crowds in, like, L.A. and whatnot. And,
oh,
you know,
my,
like,
God.
Yeah. And those are the crowds that, like, if I can get my jokes working for them, I was like, this is a really good joke because you don't like you have nothing in common.
Exactly.
The only thing we have in common is that we're in this room together right now.
Exactly.
Other than that, all our commonalities.
Yes.
I can. I would guess Sweetheart Sentimental Kane. I bet that guy would like some babies.
You know, he feels the same as I do, where he's like, if you really wanted him, yeah, I'd be like, cool, let's do it.
Okay.
If you never want him, I'm totally fine with that.
Oh, that's because he likes you.
So, he that, likes me, okay.
As much,
yeah,
as that guy likes The Greatest Showman.
oh, my God.
Ugh. He seems like the type
that was. I
don't
know how I haven't left yet. His love for Greatest Showman. It's disgusting. Yeah, he, you know, he's like a superstar uncle. He's so good with our niece.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of gets that fix. Mm-hmm. He gets his fill of, yeah, of that role. And then, you know, we have three cats. Like, we love our cats, yeah, so much. And that's about the level of responsibility we're, yeah, willing to take on right now. He would be an incredible dad.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to put pressure on them.
Oh, yeah.
Curious. Yeah. I'm sure there are these. Whatever questions I'm asking, your parents have asked much more intentionally.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my God. Especially once we got married. So, and I'm like, oh, you just don't even bother waiting because I don't even know if it will happen. But that's just 15 years. That's shocking to me.
Yeah, it's a number that people, like, it's almost like we've gone long enough that people are like, you did it.
Good
you
job.
You know, like, if we broke up now, like, 15 years.
I was just going to say, no matter what happens. I've thought about that too. It's like, you do get to a certain point where if a relationship ends, it's, you can't even look at it as a failure. You just go, wow, what a great chapter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what a great run that was.
Yeah.
But
as long as it doesn't end real bad and nasty.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's definitely folks that split and you're like, yeah, it's great. You know,
yeah,
like, it's usually you don't celebrate a breakup or anything,
yeah,
like that, but you don't want anyone getting hurt or exploited. But
right,
there are certain things, yeah, where if you're with somebody long enough and,
yeah,
it ends peacefully enough that you go, okay, I'm sure there's a lot of sorrow there, but there's a lot,
yeah,
of good memories too. You,
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
It definitely, like, you know, we're getting, I mean, our youngest is still five, so, like, we're not anywhere near out of parenting, but, like, it is easier to, like, I'm starting to, like, project a little bit, and you see why couples divorce and split,
yeah,
when the kids are gone, because kids are so all-consuming,
yeah,
and you build your whole life around it.
Right.
So that when that gets removed, there's a little bit of, like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Who are we now?
Yeah.
It's weird.
How do you do this?
How
do you have a marriage that's lasted so long? Like, what are your tips?
Yeah. Oh, you're asking,
yeah,
me? Oh, that's a great question. I think a lot about that thing of when the kids are out now, and like we over the top, like, prioritize the marriage. Like, we, like,
okay,
like, we will be like, hey, we're leaving for 3 or 4 days and going on a vacation that you don't
good
get to come on.
Good for you guys.
Yeah,
I feel like that's, yeah.
Yeah, like, we did that in, like, we went to New York for the 15th this last year, and it was like, you know, like, they're like, we want to come. I was like, I bet you do. Yeah, you, but like you, but
you
this
do.
Is for us, not you. And
yeah,
you'll be happier if we're happier. So there's a lot of that, like the trips, like the most Tuesdays, like when I have Lestat's there, like Melissa will come out and we'll, you know, we'll go out with whoever, because Zoltan or, you,
yeah,
know, whoever's in town, like, we'll go and hang on. Then the kids, like, the kids, same thing. The kids, like, why are you guys leaving? Like, we leave a lot and we do a lot of that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
you just try and, like, I don't know, I'm thinking all the time of just I was a husband before I was a dad, and
yeah,
it was always Melissa and you guys were a bonus. Like, I do,
yeah,
the joke, like, I picked her, like, and I didn't pick you three, like, they
right,
there is a reality to that. I was like, I love you and I will, like, always be your dad, but, like, I had Melissa before you and I will have Melissa after you,
yeah,
and so, like, this is a more important relationship for me to maintain. And I think the kids feel that, but also, like, get it. Like, you would want it, I think.
Yeah. Well, I love what you said.
My parents didn't stay together.
right. I love you saying, like, you'll be happier if we're happier.
Yeah, it
seems
like
that,
right?
It's all
all the circle.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I remember my parents fighting and just being like, this is the worst thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would never wish divorce on any child who has parents going through that, but I look back and remember them fighting, and yeah. It's like, you don't want to grow up in that environment either.
Right. No.
So it's so hard. It's really hard. Do you know the triangular love theory?
Mm-mm.
So it says
it's
that
turning into a self-helpless episode.
I'm sorry.
Which is good. I've been trying to get on that pod forever. So here we are.
Have we not had you on yet?
No, it's all right.
Oh, yeah. Well, that has to happen.
Yeah, well,
ASAP.
You got Ken Gar on, so I mean, I said that same thing to Taylor. I was like, really, Ken Gar before me? And I was like, I know why you had him on. Ken's the best, and he has some very specific things to talk about that apply
for
to your podcast.
Bubbles,
but
yeah.
Really, Ken Gar?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're at the top of the list. I don't know how we haven't had you on yet, honestly.
It's probably part of me like is against everything that your podcast stands for.
Oh, well, then maybe that's why.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, really, three women? Oh, gosh. No.
God. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
We have to have you on.
The triangular love theory?
Love theory, yeah. There's a theory that says in order to have consummate love, which is like the most ideal form of it, it's a combination of physical attraction, emotional connection, and commitment.
Mm.
And when you only have like one or two of those things, it becomes a different type of relationship.
Right.
So if you have like an emotional connection and commitment, then that's like companionate love. It's more of
right.
that like friendship based,
right.
which I think a lot of, you know, consummate loves can turn into companionate
yeah.
love over time. And for a lot of people, that's fine. And they're
right.
happy with that. That to me is like, that's the thing I struggle with, that's a fear of like losing that beginning excitement, that physical spark.
Right.
And so, yeah, so I'm curious, like for 15 years, that's
yeah.
got to be tough to try and maintain all parts of that.
Yeah. Well, I think that I love that idea, by the way. And I think that every season of life will, you've got to have all three. There's no doubt that.
Yeah.
During different seasons, there's gonna be leanings on the other
sure.
legs.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
when you're young in a relationship, the emotional and the physical are there.
Yeah,
but there is that commitment one is probably the scariest.
Yeah.
To some extent, because you're
yeah.
like, I've been telling that joke recently on stage. Like you cuddle in a young relationship because you're still afraid they're gonna leave.
Like, oh, I love that.
Like,
I
like, don't
love
go anywhere.
That. I'm going to physically hold on to you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great joke.
Yeah, and I think there is, because you're unsure, is this going to
yeah,
work out?
Yeah.
You know? And I think that as you get older, there is like a deeper emotional, like as you grow closer to a person, there is a deeper emotional commitment.
Yeah.
You know, but like the realities of, you know, like, you know, getting older
yeah.
and looking different and
yeah.
having different biological things going on. And we're not there yet. We're like mid 30s, but we're also
yeah.
not young 20s anymore,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But like there's no, at least in our relationship, there's the commitment thing just isn't, that's not an issue.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But it can reemerge like as life season change. Like
totally.
If someone cheats when they have kids, it's like, that was honestly like terrible, but somewhat impressive, like to pull that off.
Right.
Like
yeah.
that's not an easy yeah. thing to do. You're so busy to pull
wow,
that off.
To even find the time.
That's what I'm saying. I don't
yeah.
know when I would do it. And I'm by myself all the time. All the time. Like, oh gosh, right. I gotta get a different phone. We have shared accounts. How am I gonna do that?
That's tricky.
I don't know how
off.
To do this.
Yeah.
I don't know the apps. I don't wanna send nudes. I want nothing to do with this world.
Right. Pops up on your iCloud.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. She has all my passwords.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've got like a nightly FaceTime chat. Like I got to
right.
coordinate. But
right.
but I, you know, I will say that like, and this is just like personal, and I don't mean this to like come across as like any like overly sentimental way. The driving of those three, at least in my life, is the emotional.
Yeah.
Because the emotional supersedes the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is like, you know, whether it's like
I don't even know. There is something like almost like spiritual, divine about like a connection where you're like, this isn't, you know, because there will always be like, I remember Kevin Hart talking about like, you know, this was kind of like he was talking about like his wife and he was like, you know, there's always going to be a better version, you know, a younger version. There's always like, you know, bigger this, smaller bigger that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like it has to. You like it on like a respect level and on like a an admiration level, like that like supersedes that fuels the commitment and like the the emotional connection
for sure.
too, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like that's easier to say now than like, you know, like a lot of guys like cheat in their 50s, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Well, I think it's so much easier to meet people that you're physically attracted to than who you emotionally connect with.
Yeah.
And even harder to find one where it's both.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's especially in the world of like Instagram and stuff, especially like as comedians, we're meeting new people. We're out on the road.
Yeah.
We're seeing people online and there's a bunch of attractive people out there, but you talk to a lot of them for 2 seconds and you're like, oh God, get me out of here.
You know? I And some of that almost fuels into like my mindset is like when someone is like too into me, because I definitely get hit on. It's not like the same way that a lot of guys do, but I'm like, you don't know me. Like you would, if you did, you wouldn't. It's like I almost like my self-esteem is too low to cheat.
Woman's like throwing herself at you. Yeah, like, you like, don't understand. Yeah. I'm terrible. You don't want any part of this.
If you only knew.
It's like in the, you remember in Sword in the Stone when Merlin and the boy Arthur get turned into squirrels?
Yes. And yes.
And
this is my favorite Disney movie, by the way.
Oh my God. Yeah. One of my favorites of all time. And the female squirrels are just throwing themselves at it. And Merlin's like, madam, I'm an old man. Like,
madam, I'm an old man.
You don't know. And then they turn themselves back in the, and there goes, you know,
a little squirrel. Right? That's the perfect analogy. And that is kind of what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm an old man. You don't want, you know, you just saw, I've described like stand up a lot of time when they're like up there looking at us, like that's like personality pornography.
Oh my God.
Like,
yes.
They're seeing a projection of my best self.
Yes.
Not only am I putting forth my best thing, which is I can make people laugh.
Right.
I'm also talking about the negative parts about myself in a disarming, humorous way, which people are like, oh my gosh, you just, you dealt with your insecurities. You talked about your traumas.
Yeah.
And we all laughed.
You're in a position of power.
Yeah.
You're the man in the spotlight.
Yeah, exactly.
The microphone.
Yeah.
Automatically, people are like, ooh.
Yeah. And really, all I want post show is I want that hug from the room.
And a brownie.
And a brownie. Or do you do a post-show snack?
I almost always. I always pack like chocolate on the road with me. Yeah. I come into the room. I get the hug from the air. And I eat
I'm going to think of that every time. Because I think that's a happier way to look at it. I remember hearing once like I always get really like when the door slams behind me, I'm like, well, I'm alone again. But the room, if I view the room as a companion and I can have a triangular love connection with the room.
The room. It's all we have. Yeah. I mean, you do get weirdly bonded to every hotel room you're in.
I think you might have retweeted it. Joe List had that tweet about the room.
Yes.
All day long, you're just like, oh, gosh, I got to
get out of here.
Got to get out of here. And then post show, you're like, I got to get back to that room.
It's a weird... weird like complex you form because
it's your only friend.
It's your only friend. You have to make yourself comfortable in a new place every week. And so it becomes like something psychologically.
Yeah.
Happens.
A little chocolate, a little. Mm-hmm. My go to on the Saturday or the Sunday, whatever the last show of is, is I this is me being an old man. Okay. I get a glass of red wine.
And my God.
And I take a bath.
You are 1,000. That wasn't even a joke with the squirrel. Like, you're an old wizard.
I'm an old wizard.
You are Merlin. Oh, my God.
It's pretty relaxing, actually. And
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't judge. Like, that doesn't sound
amazing. Yeah,
I have to go now.
Do you ever get creeped out taking baths in hotels?
I should say this. There are many times that I look at it and go, no. Yeah, like, but...
Not today, Marissa.
Not today.
Not today.
Yeah, I definitely, it takes the right setting for it to truly be relaxing.
Yeah.
And if I was dealing with stalkers and such, probably not. So.
Yeah, not so much. I did. There's an In-N-Out literally right across from the club here in Vegas. And so that was my like.
There you go.
Made it through one show.
Yeah.
And I get animal style fries. Now you get back to the next show.
What are you talking about? You got several hugs now.
That's true.
Yeah, you're just.
So many. So many hugs. Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing this, Kelsey.
You're the best. Thanks for having me. It's always great talking to you.
I hope your shows go well and everything tonight.
You too.
And we'll plug all your stuff. So.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.